listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, we got a big car cast for you today. We're going to give you a little bit of recap of SEMA, what we saw there, what we liked there, and then we're going to talk to our friend Ron Capps, the driver of the Dodge Charger RT funny car, as we lead into the Pomona drag racing this weekend. Before we get started, let me tell you a bit about Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off your dry cleaning, maybe pick up some milk. Now you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list, and you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Go to geico.com, and of course, we're brought to you by our friends at Dodge. You don't have to wait for Black Friday to get a great deal. If you hurry into the Dodge Black Friday sales event today, where it's easier than ever to get a new Dodge Durango because we've got employee pricing plus all month long, not just Black Friday. They have all month long. So no matter where the season takes you, the Dodge Durango is here to make every trip this season a breeze. Because you're behind the wheel of a Dodge Durango, you're behind the wheel of a performance-driven SUV. And whether you're rolling out with friends or family, you'll be able to fit everyone with Durango's 7-passenger seating capacity. So no more waiting in line and no more camping out, because Employee Pricing Plus is here all November long. Hurry into the Dodge Black Friday sales event. All right, Chris, let's get started. Hello, welcome to CarCast. Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea here with Bill Goldberg, calling in from a top secret bat cave location in Texas. You're getting settled into your new to your new pad, buddy.
Depends upon your definition of settling in.
I saw
physically, yes.
I saw like a half a dozen reliable carrier trucks on your post, all just loading up all the cars in one fell swoop, huh? Did you get to figure out if everything runs? Okay. That's a good time to figure out, like,
no.
Is everything run or not?
No. Absolutely, no. Actually, weeks prior is a good time to figure out if everything runs.
Yeah.
But, you know my schedule as of late. So, I mean, like, literally the day of I checked, it was the night before I checked. And let's see here. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the vehicle that I left the keys in the pod and I had to hot wire to get down to the street to get on the reliable carrier?
Oh. So you've
that
got
one or,
you've
or
got
the race car no, or the race car that I put the wheel in the pod, the steering wheel, no less.
The pods were like the containers out in front where they're all sealed up, and then a truck comes and takes them and brings them to your new home. So you pack these boxes, these giant crates, these pods up, and then somebody brings them to Texas. So you packed a steering wheel and a set of keys. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's just two of them. You know, and the bikes. Bikes don't start. I haven't ridden them in God knows how long. And
yeah.
You know, so, and everything had to be taken down to the bottom of the hill, which was interesting. And then it was a cluster, man. Day after day, but reliable really came through. I mean, I was flipped out, and they had three out of the four drivers were very helpful. The other one, I think, he's still looking for his brain somewhere. But it was a horrible ordeal, but made much better by those guys all my friends and my wife. And I mean, it was a cornucopia of. It was lobotomizing, to say the least. And, you know, I'm going on no sleep. I haven't trained, all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it's like a snowball thing. And then, we got to catch a 6 a.m. flight. And it's continuing to be one hell of a week. But the end result is that the first morning, I woke up at 6 o'clock, went out, caught about a 4-pound bass in my lake.
Oh, nice.
And that's how I started my day off, man. So it was... It was awesome, and I ended that day by catching, I think, the same fish, before the sunset. So
it's going to be your new buddy. He's going to be your Loch Ness monster. You're going to just keep catching the same fish for a year.
I'm going to keep feeding him, man. So hopefully he gets bigger each year, you know?
Yeah. So we've got some post SEMA stuff going on. It was a crazy week for all of us, and I know you.
Oh yeah, then there's SEMA.
Yeah, right. You had to do. You came in for SEMA for a day, right? You were there Tuesday, then you had to do the Goldberg sitcom on Wednesday, and then you know just flying around, and you know there's just a lot of work going on involved, but. SEMA was great. I think we did seven shows, or I did seven shows out there. We did, I did two shows with Corolla, and I did, four, maybe five shows, something like that. But I did like seven shows out there. So tune in, by the way, as you guys are listening to this, keep checking back. We're posting extra shows on the CarCast feed on iTunes and the Shift and Steer feed, by the way, on iTunes, the other podcast I do with Brad Fanshaw and Aaron Hagar. We did a big show with Hot Wheels. We announced the Hot Wheels Legends Tour winner, and it was the Nash. It was the same winner in El Segundo. When Adam and I judged in El Segundo, we picked that car as a winner, and then it went to the finals, and that one went on to win the whole thing. And that guy's car is going to be made into a Hot Wheels. And we interviewed him in the Hot Wheels podcast, which is already up. I think you'll dig the conversation. The guy is really good. He's very smart. He's a great fabricator. And he built this car for less than $10,000. So when you see some pictures and hear the pod, I think you guys will enjoy it. And then we've got coming up soon our interview in the K&N Filters booth. We chat with a couple of guys from K&N, which are fantastic, the new CEO. And then we have our friend Patrick Dempsey coming to the studio and Porsche driver Patrick Long coming to the studio. And I think we spent about a half hour with those guys. We have a great conversation with them as well. So lots of great content coming up. And then Shift and Steer, by the way, constant flow of guests. Dave Merrick from Acura. We had Teresa from LMG CT. She's the super painter that did Jay Leno's Bronco that was in the Ford booth. I think she had 12 cars at SEMA that she did work on. A bunch of different wonderful guests as well. So tune into that. I don't know how often you got a chance or if you got a chance at all, Bill, to run up. And I know your schedule at SEMA was pretty hectic for the day. I think Weld Wheels and Speedcore and MagnaFlow and just a lot. But we had our two vehicles in the MagnaFlow display out front next to the Ford out front drifting area. And I spoke to MagnaFlow's guy, Bill. He's the guy that drives one of the semi trucks, and he sits there and watches over the suite of cars they have out there all day. I think they had seven vehicles. Your Speedcore carbon fiber wide body Challenger, the black car with the very cool black stripes with the raw carbon showing through, and the HRE wheels, and the custom interior, the camo interior stuff. Is it Rough Tough? Who does the interior?
Yeah, that was Rough Tough that came out with those. It was my first venture into the seat cover world, and they came out with the Arctic pattern. We got like three or four of them.
Yeah,
and, it was a weird. I didn't know what to expect. And you see a lot of things at SEMA, and I was very pleased with the outcome. I think it's pretty cool. It's different.
So they're selling those, right? You can buy the Goldberg camo version, sort of the tribal camo version of seat covers for various vehicles now? That was their plan?
Oh, yeah. You can buy them for any vehicle. I think I got to get all the specs, but you know, all the new vehicles, mm-hmm. they can be installed in. They come in and come custom. Obviously, you know, with the Sparco carbon fiber seats that I had, they must have spent, I don't know, God knows how long,
yeah.
custom fabricating those seat covers. But they did it. They did a really good job.
And oh, so
it turned out very.
I was going to tell you. So we loaded up the cars. We loaded up the cars Monday morning. SEMA opens on Tuesday. All the load and stuff is, you know, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I loaded up, brought my truck in Monday morning. About a half hour later, your car arrived. It sounds sick. Man, that thing is loud. Oh, my God. And then the Rough Tough guys came, and they had to install the seat covers. They were made, but they weren't installed yet. But, yeah, you have those carbon fiber Sparco seats, and they didn't want to cover the carbon fiber. So these guys were scrambling all day. They were crawling in your car. They couldn't remove the seats. They had to do it in the car. They had to disassemble the seats in the car, apply, install the seat covers, and assemble the seats. And these poor guys that were working on it were not small fellas. And and it's hot, and the car is black, and the sun's blaring down, and they're just sweating up a storm and trying to do these things all while in there. But they got it done and looked fantastic. I will tell you this, is Bill from Magnaflow. He was there the whole time, the whole week, and on Friday, as we were packing up, I went in and checked with him several times and did some tours of the truck with different sponsors. JL Audio and ACC came by with the custom interior, and we showed the truck off to a few people, had a few meetings over there, and he said that they had seven vehicles there, and your car and my truck were by far the most talked about, the most photographed ones out there. And I was like, okay, that's cool. I get it with your car, but I'm kind of running in a bone stock Ford Lightning. And I guess just a lot of people kind of connected with it. They're like, oh, it's a Lightning. I haven't seen one in a while. And I think it was the only Gen 1 Lightning there. So lots of photos of that. If anybody has them, please post them up on social media. Put them up on Instagram. Tag us. And we'll repost it. We'll reshare it. We'll comment on it. I want to see what you guys
got. Dude, they did it. They all the people that jumped in on your truck in such a short period of time.
Oh yeah,
man, they did a hell of a job.
I gotta say a huge thank you to Galpin Autosports. Those guys did several waves on my car. Like, they had to do the suspension for me, then I needed to get it back to do stuff on it. And Brad Fanshaw for Bodspeed Wheels made the wheels. We scanned in the original wheel, and then they brought it in the CAD software, and then it took 6 hours per wheel just on the CNC machine. 6 hours per wheel, and that's before polishing and before powder coating. Because when you put them on the CNC, it gets all, it shapes it, but it gets those little grooves, you know, that the drill bit leaves. And they got to polish them all off by hand. And then you got to send them out. We did a Mercedes silver powder coat, and they were great. So they're 18 inches. They're staggered, and they're directional now. They're 9.5s in the front, 10s in the back. And we've got 295, 45, 18s in all four corners. So Brad turned those around. I think we installed those Saturday before we left for SEMA on Sunday. I went back to Galpin. Oh, my God. I went back to Galpin, and they had their car audio guy help me out. I wired up everything, and then he needed to build the custom box for the JL Audio subwoofer and the amplifier and stuff. And Tommy over at Galpin Autosports, and of course Steve McCord and the boss over there, Bo Bachman. Tommy at Galpin got approval from the bosses to have their car audio guy, the fabrication guy, work overtime all day Saturday, all day Sunday, so I can pick it up on Monday morning the week before. And they stepped up, and it's good. And now I got to go back to them because we got to do the brakes and we got to do some other stuff. But they did such a great job. And when you see the wheels in person, I think you guys will love them. It turned out great. So thanks for everybody that came out for that. But man, can we talk about for a second that seeing in person in the Magnaflow booth the all-wheel drive SpeedCore Charger?
Please, because I couldn't talk
turbo?
A lot about it when I went up with Leah,
yeah,
to break that world record, man. But the only cooler thing about that car than actually seeing it is watching it go down the track. Because the thing is just absolutely sickening. It's terrifying, but it's so cool and so outside of the box It's really a cool piece.
It was in the Magnafar booth.
Mine's coming right down the pipe, man. It should be done in about a month, I hope.
Oh my gosh, that thing was sitting on 4 slicks, and it was 1,500 and something horsepower. It was fantastic. But so remind us where did you go when you were at SEMA? What you were with Weld and Speedcore, Magnaflow, and some others.
Yeah, Rough Tough first, and then I went to Magnaflow, and then we went Speedcore, and then Motul, and then I stopped by Weld. And, you know, I would be remiss in not mentioning the drive-in with Leah and Christy, and unfortunately, our boy Chris Jacobs had to open up SEMA, so he couldn't be along for the drive.
Yeah.
But, you know, we left Bondurant, and we were representing Dodge, Bondurant, and the Gary Sinise Foundation.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be able to represent such a foundation that does so much for veterans, you know, coming up on Veterans Day, it was pretty cool. You know, I was very honored to be a part of it. Not only that, but I got to drive the all-wheel, or not the all-wheel drive, but the wide-body new Hellcat Charger. And
yeah.
It was a lot of fun. I had a double amputee in with me, and we had a nice drive, nice talk. It reinforced the fact that these guys are more than heroes. It was an honor and a privilege to have him in the car and to be part of that. And it was, and not to mention, like I said, we had one hell of a fun drive coming in there.
Yeah.
Hoover Dam was just part of it. We stopped at a couple different stops along the way, but great cause, great cars, and great people. So
that's good. I know we've said this before, and I think Chris and everyone in this building will back me up on this. Gary Sinise is the nicest guy ever. There's nobody like more generous, and like that guy seems to do more charity stuff through his foundation and with his band and everything than he does at acting at this point. Like, he's just constantly doing that stuff, and he's the sweetest guy. Like, we got a chance to meet him at the Coronado Vintage Race a couple of years back, not too far from your old house, and he was just like, come into my trailer, come to my motorhome, come sit down, get out of the sun, and let's talk. And he talked about the band, and he talked about cars, and he's not even like a big car guy, but he's the guy that's super interesting, where he like leans in and just makes eye contact, and he goes, tell me why you love these cars, tell me why you're like, he's just so genuine. A great foundation for that that he's got going on.
And also remember how many of the podcasts we were talking about Bondurant when it was about to go under with all the stuff going on over there.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you that under the new ownership, it is about to flourish. I'm very happy to have been there and got to meet everybody behind the scenes look. And it's up for bigger and better things.
That's good to know. I am a fan of the Bondurant School. Of course, I'm friends with Pat and Bob Bondurant, and I wish them the best. They've been in so many of our documentaries and been generous to us, but unfortunate how everything sort of went down. But the school is there, like you're saying, and it's available, and it's going to grow, and Dodge is still on board. So that's fantastic.
And it was fun, man. You saw some of the videos.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
oh, my gosh.
I
texted you, and I was like, hey, the cars are here. They're staged. Everything looks good. And I was like, I know you're on your way in. And you're like, yeah, probably shouldn't be, but we're doing 120, figuring out how to get
it. I didn't know. I never said that. I know that. You must have been talking to somebody else.
It must have been a different, my bad, different Bill Goldberg. Although I'm pretty sure Christy Lee told me she did 140, so.
It was 150.
Oh, I can say. It's 150. Quick shout out.
Funny. It was funny because we called Mark Trussell along the way and said, Mark, I hope you wind tunnel tested these vehicles because my hood's about to fly off.
Oh, yeah.
And man, he went into an absolute panic, and it was just a joke, obviously.
By the way, Mark Trosel is one of our guests on Shift and Steer, so when you tune in, they can hear more from him. I want to get into some of the cool cars that we saw at SEMA and remind you guys that all of our social media accounts, and especially my Instagram, my Facebook, I'm putting up huge photo galleries of the cars we saw, the stuff we liked. And we forget that SEMA is all about the parts as well. It is a trade show. It's about all the latest and greatest performance parts. So I went over to the new parts performance hall, the new product showcase, and I went up and down and looked at every single new part there in those showcases. And I took about 50 or 60 photos of things that I thought were kind of interesting, and I posted a gallery of just new performance parts. A little taste of pretty much everything that you can imagine. And in that gallery, that their display, SEMA's display, has a card next to each product that says the name of the company, a little description, price, and sort of where you can find them, or at least you can Google them. And what I try to do is make sure I photographed that card in every photo. Now, you might have to like zoom in a little to see it, but there is details of every product. So if you see something that you think is cool and you want to know more about it, you can just zoom in, find out who the company is, and dig into it from there. And again, many of these products probably aren't even out yet, but they are coming soon if they're not out already. But so I want to get into a few of the cool cars that we saw. But before we do that, Chris is going to go and get our buddy Ron Capps on the phone. Ron Capps is NHRA, a funny car driver. We're all, as we're recording this, we're a few days away from the Pomona drag race, the finale, the season finale there. And I think we have some NHRA winners as well, some ticket winners that are going to be going to the race. Thanks to our friends at Jegs. We had Jeg Coughlin Jr. on Shift and Steer as well, by the way. So when you go listen to those shows, we are giving away two pairs of tickets for the race this weekend, along with backstage passes, if you will. Like every ticket is a pit pass, so you can walk up and down the aisles and see the cars, but our friends over at Jegs are inviting you behind the ropes to see the car, get into the trailer there, and see what the crew chief does. And look at they have a gear wall. They have a pegboard in the trailer of just all the various gear sets that they can basically change, like in between sessions. So if you want a little peek behind the curtain, you're going to do that with our friends from Jegs. I'm hoping to get out there as well. But we've got a lot going on. So Chris is going to get Ron Capps on the phone. But before we get into that, we're going to get into some of the cars. But the first car I want to mention, of course, is actually, let's talk to Ron Capps. Hello?
Hey, man. How are you guys?
Hey, Ron. This is Matt. You're on the phone with Bill Goldberg as well. How you doing?
Good. Good, good.
Man,
What's up, Ronnie?
Hey, how are you? Long time no see.
Yeah, it's been a while, hasn't it? It sure feels like it's been a while.
I heard you guys are travel buddies.
I've gotten a couple things accomplished between then and now.
Yeah, I left SEMA show, and I seem to run into to Bill at the airport a lot, whether it's flying out of home when we fly somewhere or leaving SEMA on the very last flight out of town with our fingers crossed, hoping we get back home.
Yeah.
It was great. Awesome. So, looking over there and seeing Ron, man, I had somebody to vent to.
Really? Because Ron said he just wanted to take a nap. He was just kind of hoping you'd shut your trap. So I don't know.
That may have been the case, but I made him move seats and sit up next to me just so he could hear.
Right on. We were just doing a little bit of a SEMA recap here and talking about all the great parts that we saw. But we're going to get into some of the cars as well. But before we do, We've got Pomona this weekend, man. NHRA Finals is coming this weekend. We're giving away a few tickets, a few pairs of tickets for that as well. I'm sure you're excited to go out there. You're what, currently sixth in the lineup in your Charger?
Yeah, we're sixth. We dropped, you know, you're talking about SEMA and all that. We had Vegas 2 weeks ago, and we lost a little bit of ground where we'd hoped to gain a little bit. And mathematically, we're still in the hunt for a championship. We just have to go there and win and hope that a couple of cars in front of us struggle. So, but man, you talk about looking at the weather, you know, high 70s, 80s all weekend in November in L.A.
Yeah.
And season ending in Pomona, one of the most historic racetracks we go to. I know Bill's come up there. He brought his son up last year. It's just a place that you know, it's the birth of drag racing, and it's just so much history there. And to have the world championships come down to that race, it's going to be incredible.
What are ideal?
Let me reiterate again for the fans what an experience it is. Going to NASCAR is one thing, but being able to go to NHRA and literally, you know, smell these engines, you know, starting up, watching them tearing them down and building them back up, and get to hang out with these drivers. I mean, it's an unbelievable experience if you have not experienced it. And like Ron said, the weather's going to be just fabulous. It's a great family atmosphere, and if you like fast cars, then that's definitely the place to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Ron, we've been encouraging people to go see racing live. So so far this year, we've given out we've teamed up with the different racing sanctioning bodies and tracks and some of the teams, and we gave out tickets to NASCAR at Bristol. We gave out tickets to IndyCar at Laguna Seca, and now we're giving out some NHRA tickets as well. So, and by the way, thanks to everyone, thanks to Bristol and to IndyCar and to NHRA and maybe some of your friends out there, to Team Jegs. Our friends at Jegs are giving some sort of behind the curtain passes along with some tickets to the race this weekend. So in Pomona, so very cool, a lot of fun. Ron, you were talking about the weather. What are ideal track conditions? Because the cool air seems to be making more power, but you know, the track can't be too hot for traction. Like when you look at track conditions, we're looking at traction and essentially horsepower, or is horsepower not really a factor? You're making the horsepower no matter what. Is it all about traction?
Yeah, it is. But you got to imagine we've got these, you know, these Goodyear tires that are trying to plant this 13, you know, well, close to 13, between 11 and 13,000 horsepower. So when you're trying to apply the clutch to that much horsepower, you've got these two lanes, you know, like the old days, they talk about the 2/4-mile lanes.
Uh-huh.
And it's just nothing but rubber that is built up, and they manicure this and keep it so nice, and they don't let it build up too much. They kind of scrape the excess off, but then they spray this stuff down and makes it stick. So what you're talking about is ideal temperatures are anywhere in the 70s, you know, outside.
Okay.
And they'll check the temperature. We have special track specialists that will go up there and check it with a little infrared gun and update our crew chiefs on what the temperature of the track is. You don't want the sun completely beating down on a hot day on this rubber, because if you can imagine a little strip of rubber, if it's got sun beating on it, it's going to get real gooey.
Yeah.
You don't want that. And if you can keep the temperatures low 70s, that's ideal. And a little bit of cloud cover, perhaps, just to keep the sun from beating on it. But, you know, the Pomona track has been around forever, so it's very well prepared, and it's kept very well. And so it doesn't take a whole lot of preparation when we come back here every, you know, two times a year. And to be honest with you, it's a little bit downhill, and that's just the way it was built. So you throw those all in there, and there's always track records. There are always world records being broken, and I don't see any reason why this weekend you won't see that again.
It's funny you mentioned that it's a little bit downhill. Bill and I ran it at Springfest, the Dodge event down there, and when we got a chance to go to Pomona and drive the Dodge Challenger 1320s, and it oddly felt like a little bit downhill. And I don't think you realize it just like looking at it. And I don't know what that does. Like you're saying, it changes world records. I don't know if it changes ETs or much as it does mile an hour, but it's a little interesting. It's a little interesting that
okay.
It goes down.
Well, to throw more of that on there, you got to imagine that it is also one of the shortest shutdown areas. So in other words, when we make a run down there, and we're going 0 to 3.8 seconds right in front of your eyes as a spectator.
Yeah.
But you're doing that 330 miles an hour in 1,000 feet. And then we have to get out these two parachutes we have and hope they both hit at the same time, and then pray that everything goes right and you get on the brakes, because it is by far the shortest shutdown. So here we have the most historic track, one of the fastest because it is a little bit downhill, and then the shutdown area is also, it's more downhill than their track. And on top of that, you're already flying down this thing. So to be honest with you, it's one of the tracks that you worry about stopping more than you worry about making a killer record run. So there's a lot going on at this racetrack on top of battling for a championship and all the other stuff that happens. So I'm sure you guys, I know you were both at that event, and at those cars, they're heavier, much heavier than ours. I'm sure they were a little difficult to start slowing down and you know, you see that golf course, that big sand trap at the end, and it comes up fast.
Yeah, I don't think we were going very fast.
Let's keep it in perspective. I mean, you know, we had what were we running in those?
I think there were 475 horse. Yeah,
less than 500 horsepower.
Yeah.
Now, how much did you say you're running? 15,000?
11,000. But you're talking a car that weighs 2,200 pounds, and exactly. And then two parachutes to stop. We on a good run. I've talked to Bill about this. He goes 6.5 G's. So we go through more space, more than the space shuttle goes through, more than anything on the planet, G-forces-wise, except a fighter pilot. But the G's when the parachutes hit are upwards of -8 to -10 G's.
I was going to ask about that. Stopping is more physically demanding than launching that car and going down, you know, right? Because it seems like it's significantly more G-force to make that thing. Once you hit the chutes on that thing, it's got to be intense.
I've told people this before. I've made runs at Pomona and hit the chutes, and it reminds me of one of those commuter flights you take into a small airport when there's bad weather.
Yeah.
And you get out and you want to kiss the ground and just thank God the pilot got you on the ground. That's what some of the runs feel like when we get stopped after going 338 miles per hour at Pomona.
So there, in this short period of time, and even like in a month, you can't really put this in perspective to the normal human being. But you know, you no matter what you do, you have to have respect for either the vehicle or the sport. Do you still get terrified? I mean, I just heard you say it puckers you a little bit, stopping at Pomona. But do you? I mean, obviously, seat time and experience lessen the terrifying factor. But I mean, do you still have to be terrified to keep it under control and keep, you know, perspective on 11,000 horsepower?
Yeah. The fear definitely. The fear to me is equal to the respect. And you know, it's funny, when last time I was in studio with you, Matt, with Adam Carolla. And Bill, the way he is, you guys go out and you buy these cars, even if it's not a current car. You go out and build this hot rod that you'd love to own, that you saw as a kid.
Yeah.
And you put this thing together, right? And you're going to take it to the track, or you're going to take it out somewhere and really get on it. Well, as you've gotten older, and it's the same for me. When I first started driving for Don Prudhomme, I didn't care what it was. When Snake tells you, get in this car, and we're going to make a run and try something new, you didn't even ask questions. You know, you just got in. It was like you're a test pilot, like you're Chuck Yeager. But as I've gotten older, I've thought more about, are the brakes going to be good in this car? Have I looked over all the safety equipment in this car? And it's the same as owning a collector car that is a muscle car or an old road race car or an old Paul Newman car. So you've got to have, and I've learned this slowly, probably not as fast as I should have, but I've learned to think about these worst things that can go wrong before I enjoy the best things about that car that's going to get me off when I go out, step on the gas, and start banging gears. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
it's absolutely Fantastic. It's exciting to do. And it's like you're saying, you've been doing this a while now, you know, and it's got to be thrilling and exciting every time. It's just one of those things where you can't ever – to sort of walk into it. There's you can walk into it with experience, but probably can't walk into it with a level of comfort.
I have the best job in the world.
Yeah.
Well, it does. It actually does. And, you know, we're like Bill and I were flying home the other day, and he looked over at me and said, "Man, I don't have a job like yours. Like, you've got the best job in the world." And I'm thinking, geez Louise, like, this guy has stood in the middle of a ring in front of thousands with world watching him. How cool a job would that be? Or to be a rock star on stage playing a guitar. But there's times I'm
terrifying because
I'm
in my underwear.
Right.
Well, we should look like that in our underwear, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, that's the added factor that, you know, especially at my accelerated age. But, you know, I don't know, man. I respect you guys to the nth degree. Everybody knows that I love speed, and Matt loves speed, and Adam loves speed. But, I mean, you guys are on a completely different level. And I'm in awe of it because it's something that I'd like to do. You remember I asked you about a drag racing school on the plane. It's something that I'd like to do, but man, as much respect as I have for my Cobra and my Demon and stuff like, I couldn't even imagine having that much horsepower at, you know, controlled by my right foot. It's just really cool.
And you would love it. That's the thing. Is every car person, I wish they could go for a ride and get to do what I get to do, because I know everybody would completely lose their mind in ecstasy. It's unbelievable when you make a run. The coolest thing is I've been wearing these HD glasses that I wear inside my helmet throughout the season. So if you go, like, on my Facebook fan page and you scroll back to races, you actually ride. When we went 339 miles per hour in Pennsylvania a month ago, I had these glasses on, and it was the second fastest speed in the history of funny cars.
Wow.
And they're actually, you can hear me shut the visor and the car gets quieter. I mean, you're in there as my head moves. And it's amazing for me to go back and watch this view after it was actually me wearing them. But to go back and watch, I think, and I just shake my head going, my God, that's crazy.
That's fantastic. You talked about even going for a ride and doing this. My buddy Larry Dixon's putting that tandem car together, and I think he's been doing it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's crazy. And, you know, it's funny, I talked to him, and he's like, I really wanted the passenger to sit in the front. He sat in the back, and the insurance is like, no way. That's going to happen.
So, you need a diaper sponsor. There's no doubt there's going to be people messing their pants.
Like,
pooping their pants.
I'm telling you, I like where his head's at, though. I mean, talk about changing the experience and offering something that hasn't really been done before, like a full speed, full power run in a tandem dragster. I mean, the difference, of course, is it's a little bit longer and it's additional weight and whatever, but that's pretty nuts. And, you know, I think he's doing a few. He's been doing a lot of testing. He's been doing some corporate things and whatnot, but I don't know. I think it's exciting to do. I would love to go for that ride and you're right, be wearing a diaper the whole time.
Yeah, and plus the factor of you not being in control, add that on top
exactly.
of the gnarliest thing ever. I know you guys are both like me. I hate when people want to take me for a ride because then they try to impress you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a lot of people out there that have the talent that makes me feel as calm when they're trying to impress me in some race car or car. And I'm not a comfortable person in the right seat. I'm sure you're the same way, Bill.
Absolutely.
I am too. It's just like, it's weird. Like, on a track with somebody, I kind of trust what they're doing. But driving around town, I don't trust. I can't sit in that right seat. I have an issue with it. And I don't know. It's kind of weird. And I tell you what, though, Adam Kroll is the best shotgun rider ever. Like, I will drive like a maniac going to events and whatnot, and he just sits there and just talks the whole time. Like, I don't know how he does it. And his guy, Mike August, does the same thing. Mike August is the craziest driver, you know, cutting over lanes and driving
but
on sidewalks.
But Corolla signs your checks, doesn't he? So he knows you're not
yeah.
going to kill.
Yeah, that's right. Like, he knows if I got to get paid, I got to keep him alive. Ron, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing you this weekend. I'm going to try to get out there this weekend, and good luck. I think you're going to have fun, enjoy the weather, and this is not far from your hometown, so you don't have a lot of traveling to do. You can sleep in your own bed at night, I guess.
No, I can't. Not that close, but close enough. There's a lot of friends and family. The worst part is getting tickets. As you know, with any home game, that's the most stress probably of the whole weekend. But yeah, thanks again, man. I it's so cool that racing and cars has brought me friends like you guys, and I'm able to talk about it with you guys. So look forward to seeing both of you soon.
Thanks, Ron. I really appreciate it. You can follow Ron Capps on Twitter. He's RonCapps28 on Twitter, and the website is Shoe Racing. S-H-O-E,
hey,
racing.
Be safe, Ronnie. Be safe, Ronnie, and good luck this weekend, and I'll be back, hopefully see you soon. And
all right, brother. You got it. I'll see you guys soon.
Thanks, Ron.
Yes, sir.
You bet, man. Later.
All right, guys, I'm going to tell you a little bit about our friends at Zorro. If you purchase supplies for a business, you know it's nearly impossible to find everything you need in one place. That's why there's Zorro.com, where their number one goal is to make your life easier. It's Zorro, Zorro.com. It's where you'll find everything you need for businesses of almost any size in any industry. Zorro has tools and equipment, safety and office supplies, cleaning supplies, and more. They have tons of stuff from industries for like electrical, plumbing, contracting, manufacturing, and more. You'll find brands that you know and trust, like Stanley, 3M, Milwaukee, Schneider, and Rubbermaid. And Zorro has amazing customer service for real people based here in the U.S. You'll also enjoy fast, free shipping on orders of over $50 or more. Even if you don't have a business to shop for, you can still find lots of great items at Zorro.com. And right now, if you go to Zorro.com/carcast and sign up for their Zmail newsletter, you'll get 15% off your first order. So go to Zorro.com/carcast for 15% off. All right. So I was going through the SEMA show floor. I try to run around. I try to catch as many cool cars and stuff as possible. Oftentimes you're just running through the hall and you're snapping a picture and you don't get much time to stop and really kind of look at it. So I go through the pictures again. Sometimes you don't get to talk with everybody there, but it's a hectic event. Like we said, we did a lot of live shows and things like that. And oh, by the way, our friends at Mothers, thank you so much for coming by and cleaning our cars out front by that drifting area. Those guys kick up all kinds of rubber and dirt and junk all over the cars. They came over twice a day, every day, and cleaned our cars. So thank you guys for that.
Thank you very, very much, gentlemen and ladies.
Really appreciated that. So some very cool cars. Old Broncos, 60s Broncos were sort of the theme. Leno had one, and I must have seen, I don't know, a dozen of them out there. They were... lots of companies making Bronco chassis, and now there's a completely repopped body. So I don't know what you need, just a VIN number. You can basically recreate a Bronco from scratch. So that was kind of interesting to see. Our friends at Acura had a cool booth with the NSXs and whatnot, but they had the S800. I believe it's the S800. S800 is the little Honda car that they had there. That thing was kind of cool. I saw a BMW M1 Pro car just on display there, which is fantastic. K&N Filters had a 935 tribute car. It's the one with the big, like, 19 or 20-inch wheels, like a 345, 30, 19 on the back of this thing. It was very cool. Now, it was a street car that was turned into, like, 935 bodywork. Twin turbo, very cool. That thing was cool to see. I saw another 935. I didn't get pictures of it, but people told me it was electric. I don't know if it was a Tesla drivetrain, but a Porsche 935, at least a 935 recreation done in electric, which was interesting. Speaking of electric, I found a company, small, like first-timer booth, and they make an electric crate engine. The entire drivetrain, the engine can bolt into your engine compartment, and it bolts up to a conventional transmission, and then they sell all the components, the batteries, the radiators to cool the batteries, everything that you need. I think it's very expensive. I think it's like $70,000 for the kit, but they had a 69 Camaro convertible there that was completely done in electric, and most of the interior was stock. So that's kind of neat as far as in the world of new products. Our friends at Brembo had a 10-piston caliper. We got into that. We interviewed We interviewed Dan Sandberg from Brembo on CarCast as well, so we have those interviews coming up. Ring Brothers hit it out of the park. Love Mike and Jim Ring. They're so nice, those guys. They had a Mustang. I think it was called Uncle, and it was in the Holly booth. It was a racing-inspired, I'm going to say, 69 or 70 Mustang. Really, really well done. Just the attention to detail. Very raw, not really like covered up engine components. It had like a John, is it Casey or John Case? I never know the difference. But he had like a Boss 429 engine in it from him. I want to say over 700 horsepower naturally aspirated. And their Camaro, I don't know if you got a chance, Bill, to see the Ring Brothers Camaro that they built. It's another 69 Camaro. I think it was called Valkyrie. And
it was beautiful car.
Oh, my God. Just over the top as far as the details. And they won, by the way, they won a Ford Design Award. They won the GM Design Award. They won Battle of the Builders with that car just won and won and won and won. The Mustang and the Camaro. These guys, every year, I see them at SEMA, and I say, what are you going to bring next year? And they said, we're hoping to take a year off. But then they show up with three cars. So they're
here's the they're did so you busy. See remember a couple of years ago they had that 73 Brewster Green Trans Am there?
Yeah.
Did you see it again this year?
I don't recall seeing it this year. It might have been
that
there.
Car, it was there again, man. And that car, seeing it again, that's just absolutely one of the coolest cars ever.
It really
not everybody
is.
Can afford a Ring Brothers car, but for what they do, man, they are unmatched, unrivaled.
They really do a good job. And by the way, tons of these builders do. It's just we're friendly with the Ring Brothers, and every time we get out to SEMA, I try to meet new builders, ones that I haven't even met before, and they do a fantastic job. I forgot who built this 69 Camaro. There's a silver 69 Camaro. I forgot what booth it was in. It was near the Lingenfelder booth, but it had a... I want to say a Pro Charger or Vortec on it, but it was like rear mounted, like reverse mounted, and low mounted. So the pulley was facing the engine and it was lower down, below the intake tube, and just a really, really well done. Forgive me. I don't know the builder. I didn't, but I have pictures of it in my gallery that I'll be posting. It's silver, and it's got red and black interior, and it is sharp. I think it might have like a cantilever, like inboard suspension, like in the trunk area as well. Dave Kindig built a vintage Vette, I want to say 60, maybe 1960-ish Vette. It's not the dual headlight, it's the single headlight. You guys tell me, is that 62? But he did a Vette with a fantastic Lingenfelter engine with an 8-stack motor. I don't know if you got a chance to see Ken or not, but Ken Lingenfelter said, when you see Goldberg, give him my best. Give him a big hug. And I said, sure. And he always tells a story.
You said, okay, I'll do it.
And he always tells a story. I forgot which auction you guys were at. I don't know if it was a Barrett Jackson or a Meekum or something. And I think he was in the audience and like you were on stage and you went down and you picked him up and you carried him up on stage and you're like, this, you need to be up here. And he just loves that story. He has a blast doing it. He's the nicest guy out there. And, he's fantastic. By the way, I asked him about
again, go ahead.
I asked him about the C8 Corvette. He said he ordered six of them.
Yeah, does that surprise you?
No, not in the least bit. He was one of our interviews on Shift and Steer as well, and he's always fantastic to interview. He ordered six of them.
Again, with the stories that you say, and everybody sees, you know, in real time with Ron on the show, we've got to thank God that we're involved with a business such as the car world where, you know, 90% of the people are just absolutely fantastic.
They really are. And it's funny, on one of the Shift and Steer episodes, we talked about that. Guys, I've been going to SEMA, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 years. Some guys have been going 20 years and more. Brad Fanshaw's been going forever. Pete Shaporis, when he was on our show before he passed a year or two ago, he was one of the founding like members of SEMA. He was like one of the, like the first VP of marketing. And what we talked about was everybody in that industry over the years, many of them have moved from company to company, and you always follow the person. The brands are always there, and you know you can work with them, and they're always fantastic, but it's the people. And you'll know somebody for 10 years at one company, he'll move to another company, and you kind of go with the person. And that's I love that about that, because there's so many wonderful friends there. And I love SEMA because as much as is in California, we have a lot of, you know, we have some car builders and we have a lot of the manufacturers and companies out here. But there are so many that we don't get to see or talk to because they are far away. And SEMA is the great time to do it. I meet with my friends Holly and Comp Performance Group, Comp Cams, all those guys. It's always so great to connect with them at events like this. So. It was good. One of the other vehicles, Redline Oil, had the Dodge Rampage that Mike Copeland built, and it was fantastic. It was super over the top. His company's called Arrington Performance, and he did a 392 Hemi in the back of the Dodge Rampage. The Rampage is Dodge's 1980s version of like a Ranchero or an El Camino. And he did like a tube chassis. And in the bed of this thing, he put a 392 Hemi with eight stack injection and tall velocity stacks on it. That thing was fantastic. Tons more, obviously tons more cars. Of course, Leno's, it's Leno. Leno, when Leno did his last episode of The Tonight Show, Craig Ferguson, as a joke, found like a 68 Bronco, just piece of junk. And he got there super early in the morning at NBC lot. And he had this thing towed and dumped in Leno's parking space with a note that says, "Congratulations on your retirement. Here's a little something in case you get bored." And he dumped this Bronco in Leno's parking spot at the NBC lot. And Leno went out and he's like, "I know this is supposed to be a joke." He's like, "But this is the greatest gift ever." And it sat at his shop for years. And then he teamed up with Ford and a couple of groups, and they built this Bronco. It looks bone stock, beautiful blue with the stock wheels and the white hard top. But underneath is a fully built chassis. And check this out. He had the new Shelby GT500 engine in there. It was a secret that they've been working on with Ford Performance for a while. It had the 760 horsepower GT500 engine in there, but because you can't get the GT500 with a manual, he had a Tremec 5-speed manual on the back of this thing. So far as we know, he's the only one with a crate engine, and he's the only one with a manual transmission, and he put it in his Bronco. If he didn't have that full custom chassis underneath, it would tear that little truck in half.
So again, he reestablishes the fact that he's one of the coolest car guys
ever. He really is one of the coolest car guys ever. And he's great and he's fun. We judge the Hot Wheels Legends Tour where we talked about earlier, and he was one of the judges for that as well. So, a great lineup of cars, by the way, the Ultima Street Car Challenge. They keep upping their game. Datsuns and Porsches and Mustangs and Camaros and trucks and all kinds of crazy stuff in there. Anyway, the list goes on and on. Rutledge Woods, Toyota Supra was in the Toyota booth. Very cool build. Pete Brock's yellow Datsun 510 was in the Braille Batteries booth. I swung by the Mopar booth. Some really cool stuff in there. And I think they did an announcement on the drag pack, the Dodge Challenger drag pack. But Anyway, lots of photos up on the gallery. We'll tell you guys more about that in the next coming episodes. Like we said, we're doing some bonus episodes, and we've got plenty. Before we wrap up, let me tell you a little bit about our friends at Dodge. Hurry into your local Dodge dealer. You don't have to wait until Black Friday to get a great deal, because right now Dodge is offering Power Dollars. With Power Dollars, you'll get $10 off for each horsepower of your new car. Every 2019 Dodge Charger, every 2019 Dodge Challenger. That means you could buy a 2019 Dodge SRT Hellcat Red Eye and receive an almost $8,000 cash allowance. You get more power, you get more off. It's that simple. So hurry into the Dodge Black Friday sales event and take advantage of Dodge Power Dollars. This is an event that goes on all month long, not just on Black Friday. So check them out. Go to Dodge. All right. So we're going to wrap it up and hand over the studio to the other guys. Bill, I'm glad the move is going well. I'm glad fishing is going well.
The best part about the move is that I just got the phone call that the carbon car is 15 minutes out. So gentlemen and ladies, I love you guys. And let's do it. Let's wrap it up so I can go wrap myself a car.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening again. Check out all the social media. Follow Goldberg and myself, Motorator, on social media and on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram only lets me post 10 photos at a time, so the full galleries are at facebook.com/Motorator. And I've been reposting them on the CarCast Facebook page as well. So, Bill, thanks. Good luck. Go get your car. And until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
Boom, boom, vroom, vroom. Tick-tock. Dodge Horsepower Challenge.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.